Hi, I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify and transform your life and your business today. I'm excited to welcome Clark Benson to Making Bank. He is the founder and CEO of Ranker, the leading digital media company for opinion-based, crowdsourced rankings on just about anything that you could think of. He launched the company in 2009. Ranker is Benson's fifth startup. Ranking creates editorial lists to vote on about virtually every topic, and the 25 million plus monthly audience's opinions shape those rankings. Prior to Ranker, Benson's company eCrush, an early social network for teens, was bought by Hearst Corporation in 2006. Benson lives in Hollywood Hills with his wife and young twins, which is really cool because I have young twins as well. So welcome to the show, Clark.
Hey, thanks for having me, Josh.
So I guess, tell me a little bit about when you got started as an entrepreneur. I mean, it sounds like you've had, you know, roughly over five different startups, and just a little background.
So I started my first business in 1995 when I was 27 years old. This was long before they had all the blogs and shows like yours that really helped entrepreneurs. You were really flying kind of blind. I remember I took the only entrepreneurship class. It was like a 25-person class at the University of Illinois when I was in an undergrad. And like things have changed so much since then. It's fascinating. So I started a business in 1995. I kept working and expanding that business, and then I I sometimes tend to move a little bit too fast. At times, when I get an idea in my head, I'm like, I got to do this. So I actually opened up a record store as a second business while I was running my music marketing company, and then had juggled two things at once. Then we started another music marketing company simultaneously. And then I started eCrush in 1999. So for about 3 years, from 99 to 2001, 2002 actually, I was running four businesses. Oh. And like, let me tell you, it's really hard when you're spread that thin to do any one of them well. I mean, I cannot tell you how many props I give Mr. Elon Musk for doing two or three huge businesses, because I had a hard time running four, relatively small businesses.
Sure.
The only one that ever had investment money at the time was eCrush, and we raised $900,000 from angel investors back in the 1999-2000 1.0.com boom.
Nice.
And then we actually, almost died a number of times when that bubble popped, and sort of kept it running as a real business, got it to profitability, and sold it to Hearst about 7 years later. We grinded it out.
Yeah.
I think the theme of my entrepreneurship has been a lot of grinding. I've been called a grinder in the LA entrepreneur community quite a bit. So I don't know if that's a positive or a negative. Sometimes it's not always said as a positive, but it's the way I am.
For sure. Well, so a lot of entrepreneurs, I know myself included, is, been in that position where you're running those multiple businesses. And like you said, it's hard to really focus and get that time and attention to really scale it and grow it how it should. But that's awesome. I mean, that you guys were able to build that up and then sell that off seven years later. Did you have partners or anything? Was that just all you?
With eCrush, I had a co-founder. I had two co-founders, actually, so that was really helpful. With my other businesses, I have not had co-founders, so I've kind of done – well, no, that's not true. I had a partner in my record store. So, it kind of goes both ways.
Sure.
I've had both experiences. You can actually have – It's an interesting question because, you know, often I wish I had co-founders. Like at Ranker, I don't have co-founders, but over time, there's some of my key team members have sort of elevated to that level where I more or less consider them co-founders. And, you know, up until that time, I would constantly find myself just like, oh, this is too much to do solo, you know. And but then again, you can have conflict with co-founders, right?
So, oh, yeah.
I've had that before too. So
definitely, and yeah. You, like you said, you kind of have both. So you can either have the conflicts, or you know, or like you said, it's all you, and then you're doing everything for a long time until you get a team.
Yeah, I've been there many a time. You know, timing has not always been in my favor. Like when I started Ranker, so Ranker's gotten really successful, certainly in the last 2 or 3 years, especially. But when we launched. I started working on the site in 2008 and then was launching the business in 2009, right when the economy was just at its absolute worst, right?
Sure.
So
yeah.
Raising money 2 years prior was a real easy task. And then all of a sudden in 2009, it was like very, very difficult to raise money. So I got stuck wearing too many hats and grinding that out, you know, longer and slower than I had ever thought I would again.
Yeah.
You know, I had a successful track record, so I'm like, oh, it'll be easy to raise this time, good valuation, da 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 da. And then when the world changes on you, you're like, oops, things are not what they were, and I must deal with this. And you know, you batten down the hatches and work every waking hour, basically. Which I'm laughing about, but it wasn't very fun at the time.
No, yeah, and you're like, yeah, you're in that struggle, and you're like, okay, you know, how am I gonna, you know, get through all this and.
Yeah, I mean, and Ranker wouldn't have even survived if I hadn't had somewhat deep pockets for my prior successes. So I was able to sort of say, all right, well, I can keep this thing afloat, but it's painful when you're spending, you know, I don't mind committing my own money to a business,
sure.
But I ended up committing over 3x what I'd kind of planned on committing to Ranker before we got to a stage where we could get, you know, outside VC money and whatnot. So everything turned out great, you know, at the end of the day, but it was a grind and a grind and a grind for years, you know.
So, you know, kind of with the multiple businesses and, you know, even all the way back to your eCrush and stuff, what was kind of the one challenge that you would consistently run into as you built your businesses?
You know, each of the businesses was a little bit different, but I think the biggest challenge, for, like, so Ranker's like a consumer destination site, right? And it's just, it's the biggest challenge we've had with Ranker, which we've conquered now, but it took a while to get there, is that, you know, the online consumer, like acquiring visitors, has changed so much in just the last, you know, it's changed a ton in the last 3 years. But if you go back the last 10 years or so, it's entirely different. You've got this world now where, like, Facebook, you know, for a while it was like, you know, Google was your main source. Now Facebook is eating everything, and you can't relax. You know, you can't just be like, hey, we're coasting, we're doing good.
Right.
It's like something's always changing. And So with Ranker, that's been the big challenge. But, you know, with other businesses I've had, the big challenge has been, like, doing sales, because I'm not a born salesman. And I far prefer to be the guy, you know, I like to look at data and twiddle the knobs and do product and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's what, you know, I don't find that to be work. I can do that all day long. But when I have to go cold call somebody or, you know, hype things and be a seller, that's just not my born nature kind of way to be. So that's always been a big challenge in my other businesses.
Cool. Well, how did you find, you know, overcoming those? I mean, obviously you probably had to do some selling and things like that in the beginning, but I guess, is that just kind of creating your team? Is that what helped you get there, or?
Yeah, exactly. In all cases, frankly, you know, it's like, know what you're good at, right?
Right.
And in all cases, when it comes to the sales side, it's like, bring in somebody who's better than me at that. And you know, with my music marketing company is actually still in business. It's been around for over 20 years.
Wow.
I'm not really that involved in it on a day-to-day basis anymore at all. And I haven't been for a while, but, like, I brought in somebody to sort of run the day-to-day and run sales, and that person I ended up just making a full-on partner and sort of even handing the business off to him at a certain point. And, you know, I can't tell you how much my life improved when I – and he wasn't good at what I was good at. I wasn't good
right.
at just the right fit. And that's hard. Like, you can make the wrong choice and you know, drive it into a ground if you don't find that person. So – yeah, people, you know, when you probably don't read or hear as much about on the people side of entrepreneurship, but it's like when you are your own entity trying to just survive or make it or grow, you know, there's some people that are perfect fits for those environments that just thrive on that kind of like, I like getting things done. I like the tangibles. And then, you know, there's many, many more people who really just need a lot more hand-holding and direction and panic in those kind of environments. And, you know, I've developed over the years a pretty good radar for knowing which type of person I'm talking to if
right.
I'm talking to bringing somebody on. But, it, you know, it took a while, and there were mistakes.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Well, cool. Yeah, I'd love to dive in a little bit more about Ranker and how it's doing and everything. We just got to take a quick break. Can you stick around?
Sure, absolutely. Pay the bills.
Awesome. I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back.
Now you can get your healthy superfoods in one drink with no shopping, no blending, no juicing.
Welcome back to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, and we've had the opportunity to start speaking with Clark Benson today, who's been giving us a little bit of his background, juggling multiple startups and selling off one of his companies, as well as creating another successful brand company that he's built that's still running as of 20 years later. So, Clark, welcome back to Making Bank.
Thanks.
Well, cool. Well, I'd like to dive into what, you know, tell us a little bit about what Ranker is, what it does, and how, you know, we can take advantage of that.
Great. Well, look, I'm a lifelong entrepreneur, yes, but even more than that, I'm a lifelong list nerd, because I was a list nerd before I, you know, was an entrepreneur outside of maybe, you know, Monopoly. You know, I mean, I've always like loved to consume information in the form of lists, get recommendation in list format. I like to make my own lists. I always have. I used to be the guy at college posting, you know, lists of my favorite albums of the month up on my dorm room door, white you know, dry erase board kind of thing.
Right.
And so, you know, back around 7 years ago or so, I sort of like saw an opportunity in the marketplace, because the lists were already all over the web, and they've, you know, pre-web, they were a magazine staple for eternity, right? But what wasn't there was that lists weren't really connected to anything, and they were always one person's opinion, right? So
sure.
You'd go to, you know, a sports site, and you'd get one editor's opinion of the best players of the year, and you'd go to a music site, and you'd get one editor's opinion, and it's like, I think that the world has gotten so diversified and complex with regards to, you know, the entertainment and other options that we have to consume and to be passionate about and be fans of, that like one person's opinion isn't really, it's just noise to some degree. And
sure.
Unless that person's a total expert who you really know their taste and you're in sync with their taste. And so I decided, like, I wanted to build a platform with a lot of data behind it to really crowdsource rankings of things, a la the wisdom of crowds theory that, you know, there's a book on that about 10 years ago or so. And that's what we did. We put a lot of engineering into the site. It's really not just a site. We've got an app coming out, and it's a distributed platform that can be used. I mean, there's about 8,000 other sites that use Ranker code, like Ranker widgets, to power their own sort of polls and rankings. And we always wanted to build it with the idea that all the data behind everything was connected, and that, you know, if you let's say, you know, you go to the site and you're like, I'm a Clint Eastwood fan and I want to look at the best Clint Eastwood movies or whatever, and you see that Dirty Harry's ranked blah blah blah, and then it shows you, oh, Dirty Harry's also ranked number 54 on best movies of the 70s and number 4 on best action movies of the 70s, and like, you know, in all these cases, thousands and thousands and thousands of people have voted on this content. So like, if you believe that, and you can filter it and see, here's what Americans think, here's what women think, here's what men think, here's what millennials think, etc. So if you really just want, you know, a way to cut through the noise and the clutter of things, or if you're just a listener like me, we got the site for you. And it's grown a ton. I mean, we're you know, if you go to Quantcast, we're in the top 50 sites in the US consistently, have been all year. So it's taken a while, but it's really scaled up.
That's really awesome. It sounds, you know, from, I guess, even just looking for data and, you know, seeing what consumer interest is, or what kind of the, where people are, what they're looking at, and, you know, where that attention is going, you know, is definitely beneficial with that. Now, are you seeing more businesses? Are they going on and creating kind of these polls or studies, or is it more consumer personal people doing it?
It's a little bit of both, but it does lean more consumer. You know, pop culture is by far our biggest traffic driver, but we do have like practical stuff too. But it's still, even the practical stuff is more consumer. Like, for example, if you're, you know, we get all kinds of mobile traffic from content that's like best luggage brands or whatever, where people are actually in a store. We're not like a site with deep reviews about everything. We're a site that we make it real easy to just vote on whether you like or dislike things, and I actually don't like to parse reviews and read all this text and try to figure out. I just want to know quickly what's the best, right? What's the best blank? And so people actually use Ranker to just find out, like, they're in the store, they're like, do I like a Samsonite or do I like this Atlantic brand? You know, and like, they use it in that context in a very practical way. But then, you know, you'll also see, best ice levels of video games on the blah, blah platform. You know, like, people go really granular with their nerdy, passions and hobbies. So we're really kind of agnostic to what kind of content we would have, but the stuff that gets the most social sharing tends to be the entertainment stuff or the humor stuff. The stuff that gets the most voting tends to be sports. You know, guys love their lists and love to vote the best football players or the best middle linebackers, or, you know, and it's really just open-ended, and that's what I love. I didn't want to make it about any one topic or genre.
Sure, cool. And then I guess for you guys, how do you guys monetize the whole part of that?
So really, we monetize because of scale. When you're doing the level, I mean, we reach about 15 to 17% of U.S. millennials each month, about 9% of the entire U.S. internet population. So, you know, we're able to monetize on ads, banner ads, video ads, stuff like that, because of the scale that we have. We also make money on affiliate revenue for like that luggage brand idea. Usually people are using that shopping in the store, but sometimes they're like, oh, I'm going to go right to Amazon and buy something. And, you know, we get a cut of that. And we really we're mostly, you know, what they call we're an eyeballs play. We're in the business of selling eyeballs,
right?
Mostly ad driven.
Cool. Okay. And then
we also have all this crazy consumer data that we've collected. Sorry, I didn't.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
You know, we can tell you that fans of Modern Family TV show are also really big fans of this other show and these other 400 shows. And even to some degree, we can tell you that they like Chipotle more than Subway and things like that. So We've been building a concept called Ranker Insights that we're very close to launching that is actually a little bit more B2B because it's business-related data, and the entertainment studios are interested in it, and we've got other clients lined up in the mostly in the fast food and fast casual dining arenas so far.
So I guess, that leads me to another question since you were just mentioning that. Would this be a good platform then since, you know, you can say, okay, hey, if somebody likes X, then these are all the other things that is a high probability of them also liking. And say you're looking to run traffic on Facebook to a certain ad set and you know, hey, here's my demographic and I know a little segment of what they like. So now you can now create this whole profile of information, go back, and then scout those people out on Facebook and then work on targeting those areas.
You nailed it. That's great. Wow.
I see lots of head shaking, so I was like, all right.
we've been doing that's part of the reason our traffic has grown so much. We've been doing that ourselves on Facebook, which as you when you dive deep into Facebook, you learn how crazy deep the data they have is, right? We can layer in even more correlations on top of that to sort of allow you to expand your audiences on Facebook without diluting the targeting aspect of it. And we've been doing it ourselves. It's really gunned our growth, especially in the last like 6 to 9 months. And we've also done this with some of the they're called preferred marketing developers. They're software companies that work at, like sort of in conjunction with Facebook to drive ad spend. So yes. Okay. We've used our data in those ways, and it's it works.
So, question is then, and from my perspective, so you know, I have some other companies that I own, and you know, we're in health and wellness and skincare and all that kind of stuff. Is there? Do you guys have a way for me to come to you and say, okay, cool, here's what I want to do, and then let me go in and be able to pull all that data?
Yeah, so literally, when Ranker Insights launches, I mean, it's honestly like probably 2 weeks from launching. The question becomes, do we have data on what you're interested in? Like, we have insane amount of data on entertainment, right? Sure. We know more about TV consumers and movie fans than anybody but Facebook themselves, and our data is kind of different because we're tracking like best shows to binge watch and like a real granular level of detail that's a lot different than just a Facebook like, right? And we have a lot of data on food and some other areas. We actually do have some data in places like skincare products and stuff like that, like beauty products people like to vote on. But the weakness of our platform is that, you know, Ranker's kind of an – people go to Ranker for fun or for information. They're not we're not incentivizing anybody to participate, right?
Sure.
We're collecting over 10 million votes a month on things, and nobody wants to vote on, like, best bleach brands.
Yeah.
Surprising, I know. But they'll vote on, you know, the hottest women on the planet all day long,
right.
But they won't vote on best bleach brands. But they will vote on best fast food burgers and things like that.
Cool.
So.
Well, yeah, no, just because I know with when we look at and we're looking at our targeting audiences and things, we say, okay, cool, you know, they like to shop at Target, you know, they also like to shop at Target, so they like to watch this kind of TV show. So we can target those TV fan pages.
If you've already got like a psychographic handle on your audience, that's where we can really help because that's what, I mean, Ranker's really about your psychographic, like what are your passions,
right? Okay.
And so the coolest thing about Ranker is people come to the site. I always assumed that people, like a hip-hop fan would come to the site and vote on like, you know, best West Coast rappers, right? And they do. But what was really cool was that that person then like gets kind of lost in like a wormhole and goes in and all of a sudden they're voting on, you know, French fries and they're voting on sodas and they're voting on, you know, movies and stuff like that. So we really do capture this psychographic profile by combining all this data. So yeah, if you're like, I know the kind of person I'm trying to reach, they like these TV shows, we could totally help you. So we
gotcha.
We're going to have to talk offline.
Yeah, no, definitely. It just, as I'm listening to you talk, I'm like, man, this makes a lot of sense. And, I work with, I have a lot of friends in the online internet marketing space that are pretty big. And it just, I was like, this could be a whole really cool piece.
The key is, like, when you're doing Facebook marketing, usually Facebook will give you some related suggestions, but they'll give you like 10 or so, and we can give you like hundreds. So we can sort of expand that reach out at the same level of reasonable, you know, cost per click or CPM or whatever you're going after.
Okay. Awesome. So what, as you're building, you know, Ranker, and you guys are really scaling this up, you know, what are several key factors that have you found that have really contributed to the success of it?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Like, I was kind of saying earlier, the consumer web has changed, right?
Right.
Like, and it's changing constantly. Like, we're not even on like Snapchat yet, right? But like,
it's a whole nother area.
Yeah, it's like, damn, like we got to figure out that thing, you know? But the initial growth of the site was heavily search based, right? People are Googling best whatever. We've got great answers for it, and we still get, you know, 12 million visitors a month from search. But what's really changed the business in the last like 2 years has been that, you know, Facebook and using data to target audiences on Facebook. Like, Facebook now drives half of the traffic to web publishers. Yeah. This was 4 years ago, it was like 8-9%. Like, that's a sea change. And, you know, you can use it to your advantage, but it's not an easy thing to figure out. So it took us 6 to 9 months to really start to understand Facebook and what kinds of content would work on Facebook, and then how to get into the innards of their data and use it with our data and all that stuff. And, you know, it's been a rocket ship ever since we kind of figured that out. But it was a little touch and go for, you know, a period of time while we were figuring that out. And I'm like, nobody's sharing this particular thing and blah, 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 blah. And then you kind of learn there's angles that, you know, it's like anything else. There's a lot of complexity and a lot of science involved, along with making sure that you're creating things that people are going to click on, right? And
right.
So you've got... yeah, it's Facebook is really eating everything. I don't know if that's a positive for humanity, yeah. But it's a reality for business, right?
As you guys were doing that, what was one of the most successful things? You say, okay, cool. You know, this is something that we are doing today that's led us now to X growth.
So, we've actually grown about 7 million unique visitors just in the last like 9 to 12 months.
Wow.
And we had always grown at a nice steady like this, and then all of a sudden it's going like that. And I don't know if anybody can see that, the thing that really changed is we took sort of a data-centric engineering approach, and we actually went and, you know, put a bunch of engineering time on taking APIs from Facebook, taking APIs from our Google DoubleClick, our ad partners, using our internal analytics, and building a system that we didn't see commercially available out there. Like, there's a lot of tools for social media marketing, but they didn't really work for our needs, and we built something that we call an ROIQ tool. And like, once it started working, it auto optimizes a lot of things and allows our social editors to it speeds up their process by giving them data centric suggestions that they can ignore, but it's like, no, you probably want to target these audiences because we know, you know 90% of the time they pick that and it works, and they can override it, they can add stuff, but that's really scaled for us. People keep asking, are we going to turn that into a product? And, you know, it's tempting. I've had a bunch of board meetings about it, but then we have to start selling that, and that's
right.
An expertise that we don't have. And, you know, one of the things I've learned a lot as a lifelong entrepreneur is, you know, knowing when you're starting to extend yourself too far, and when, you know, you've kind of got the right amount of things you're focusing on at any one time. So TBD.
Yeah, no, definitely for sure. It's, there's a lot of area that you could probably cover with that. But if you have a specific, piece that you're really focused on and you're driving growth with it, I mean, if you start to deviate, then you pull resources.
Yeah, that like I've really I've learned my lesson a bunch of times about an entrepreneur who's got to be involved in the weeds on things. I honestly don't think you should be taking on more than like 3-4 deep things simultaneously in parallel, or you may just drown. You're always going to be spending half your time on just responsiveness and day-to-day management and whatever anyways. So I've learned my lesson, and I'm never, ever going to have multiple businesses going at once, by the way, too. That was not a... not a smart. You can't scale when you're diluted that much. Again, Elon Musk, apparently, but you can't really scale when you're just not focused enough on any one thing.
For sure. What and then kind of how do you balance or manage all your personal life and entrepreneurship side of things?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, honestly, I'm really, really efficient with my time. I don't sleep that much, but I make sure that I get a good night's sleep. I try to get my 6 hours, 6.5. But I've had long periods of my life where I was working 80 hours a week. I'm not necessarily at that stage right now, but, sure. I'm certainly not working 40 hours a week either. And I get all kinds of people kind of talking to me about entrepreneurship. It's like, oh, I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to do this. And I'm always like, you got to be ready to commit. Like, right. It's just, it is all in. If you want to sort of have the best chance of guaranteeing that something's going to succeed, you just, again, I use this term, you got to grind it out, and you're going to be hit with so many things that you're not expecting. I don't think I could have, if I started Ranker at this point in my life with my kids at the age that they are, I would have a really hard time with it, because when you got young kids, yeah. Sounds like you can't, that time will go away if you don't spend it with them. Like, it's a once in a lifetime thing. And thankfully I had about 3-4 years at Ranker where I was working a solid 80, sometimes 85 hours a week, and that takes its toll.
Yeah.
I mean, I exercise every day, I get sleep, but I would have like 1 hour of free time a day, and half a day on the weekends or something.
Half a day, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're passionate about something, it's that those 80 hours are not all work,
right?
But still, you need your outlets, right?
Definitely. Well, cool. No, that's exciting. I mean, it sounds you have a lot of really great stuff happening out there, and it's definitely an interesting perspective just to hear another entrepreneur similar to myself, and a lot of the other people that I've interviewed. Everybody kind of has that same process and that same outlook, similar as you, and they do what it takes, but then they also work to really integrate as much time as they can as well. So,
yeah, I'm looking at you, and you're wearing a shirt that says "Hustle," right? And it's like, I totally get it. I can't think of a time in my life really when I haven't been hustling, because I've been an entrepreneur now for like 20 years, and you're always, always, always hustling. It's just that you develop, it becomes part of your DNA.
Yep, I agree there for sure. Well, cool. Well, tell us, where can people find more information about you?
Yeah, so go to Ranker. We've got I've got lots of lists. We've got over 100,000 of them. I'm a music nerd, so if you want to know about I have a top 500 bands of all time, not a top 10. So you can certainly find out personal information about me from my tastes, I guess. But Ranker Insights is launching soon. I think we have a placeholder page up now that you can check out for the data that we have, and that's something I would recommend from a marketer's point of view, right?
Sure.
If anybody's interested in what you were actually just describing. And I'm on Twitter. I don't tweet that much because I'm running the business, but I try to spend time on that. I'm on LinkedIn, stuff like that. So
I'm out there in the social web, but Ranker's really my baby, and all in on that, and have been for a while, and continuing to grow it.
Cool, that's awesome. So, what's one last question? Is just one piece of technology that you couldn't live without?
One piece of technology that you couldn't live without. Well, there's not just one. What's funny is I'm certainly an iPhone person. And I'm relatively addicted to it, as most of us probably are, our smartphones. But I absolutely couldn't live without my Mac or just a laptop. Like, sure. I still really, I'm constantly just typing things, and I think I could live without almost every other piece of technology except for a computer. I'm old school in that regards, but right. I don't like the thumbing as much as I like just, if you're just trying to output spreadsheets and stuff, which I'm always doing, You need a keyboard.
That's true. Yeah, a phone doesn't cut that. Well, cool. That's great. I just want to thank you for coming on Making Bank today. It was an honor to have you and learn some about what you're doing and sharing some of your insights with my audience and everything. So
awesome, Josh. Well, thank you so much, and I hope everybody heard something they like to hear. It's tough being an entrepreneur, and I don't want to be always like saying it's a grind and it's piles of work. It's also like, I couldn't be happier having chosen this path. It's just, I do like to caution that you need to know what you're getting into. It will suck up your life, and that's usually both a good and a bad thing.
Right, so. For sure. Well, cool. I am Josh Felber. You were watching Making Bank today. Get out and be extraordinary.
Making Bank is also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher.